Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erechin Daf Tes Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf Shop option in order to view a Mark Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins from the Mishnah that you find on the upper part of Daf Tes Vov, beginning with the expression B'motzi Shem Ra. Before we learn the Mishnah, we have a note in the outside margin entitled Nosei Kloli, a general topic heading. And we've indicated that this lasts till Daf Tes Zayin Omid Beis. And that indicates that we have a rather long sugya ahead of us, dealing with the issue of Loshon Hora. Loshon Hora, literally evil speech, sometimes translated as slandering, but we don't like to rely on translations, but rather to appreciate the definition of Loshon Hora. We will accomplish that through learning the sugya. We should point out ahead of time that the topic of Loshon Hora is a very detailed topic, and in recent years, in the last 100 years or so, it was brought to the forefront of halachic awareness through the efforts of the Chofetz Chaim, Rav Yisrael Meir HaKohen Kagan, who lived in Europe at the end of the 1800s into the early 1900s, and popularized and made this topic popular awareness of this topic of Loshon Hara through his sforum entitled Shmiras HaLoshon and Chofetz Chaim. And it goes without saying that in order to arrive at true halachic conclusions, practical application of these very detailed areas of halacha, one would have to study those svarim at the very least before coming to any conclusions. We say this today, and we say this often in our shiurim of Gemara markings, that we have no intent to convey through our recorded shiurim of the Daf Gemara anything that bears even the semblance of practical halachic application. In order to achieve an understanding of practical halachic application, one has to study the relevant sforum and consult with the relevant authorities dealing with what's known as halacha lemaisa. The Gemara serves, however, as the basis of all of that realm known as halacha lemaisa. So there is great importance and value in studying the Gemara to see the roots of what eventually becomes halacha lemaisa. So with that disclaimer in mind, we proceed with the Gemara. B'motzi Shem Ra Lahokia Lahachmir. This too is a continuation of the series of Mishnayos that we started at the beginning of this perek, where there are different areas of halacha where we find extremes, extreme leniency and extreme stringency. Well, Ketzad, how is that manifest in the case of Motzi Shem Ra? Motzi Shem Ra, technically speaking, is recorded in the Torah concerning a case of a man who marries a woman who he believes to be a virgin, having been with no other men. And then after his actual nisuin with her, he discovers or claims that she is not a virgin, but rather had relations of intimacy with another man after the point in time in which she became an arusa, which she formally became labeled as a married woman. That takes place when he offers her money and or some money equivalent, and she accepts that in marriage, granting her a status of arusa, and eventually they consummate their marriage at the chuppah, at the nisuin, which can be a few months later. Nowadays, that procedure of eris and nisuin is done almost simultaneously under the marriage canopy that many of you are familiar with. However, when we speak in terms of the Torah perception of things, and also throughout the Gemara, we find this gap in time between Arusa and Nesua. Arusa's status making her considered a married woman, and if after that time she has relations with another man, that could result in a death penalty. So in the realm of Motzi Shemra, if the husband claims that she had relations with someone else after they became after they enter the realm of marriage through Erisin, if he is found to be lying, that's called Motzi Shemra. So the Torah says that one who practices this, one who is guilty of Motzi Shemra, who casts this evil aspersion, evil name on his wife, claiming that she had been engaged in immorality as a married woman with another man, and it turns out not to be the case, so he has to pay 100 pieces of silver, 100 shekel. The Mishnah here says that you find this payment reflecting at times a stringency and at times a leniency. What do we mean by that? So the Mishnah says, well, echad shehotzi shemra al gedola shebekuna ve'al ketana shebisrael. If his wife happened to be a gedola shebekuna, a very important woman amongst the Kohen families, which is considered a high status, or Ktana Sheb Yisrael, or a common type woman amongst Yisrael, amongst the general masses, and he cast aspersions concerning her morality and found to be a liar, no sein mea sela. He has to pay this amount of money, mea sela, for the evil name that he cast upon her. Nimtza ha'omer b'fiv chomor min ha'oseh ma'aseh. By viewing the amount of money paid, in this case of basically evil speech, this husband spoke ill about his wife. He has to pay 100 pieces of silver. Now, that is twice the amount that a person would pay if he raped a basula. That, and for the Torah records the payment for oynes of 50 shekel, 50 pieces of silver, 50 sela, 50 shekel, sela are interchangeable terms. So you see that for speech, there is greater, it's considered a greater offense, if you will, than the actual act of rape, in the case of raping a basula, where the Torah insists on a payment of 50 silver. V'chein motzinu shelo nechtam shelo nischatem gzar din ala vosein b'midbar elo aloshen hora. Similarly, we find that the divine ruling prohibiting the immediate entrance to the land of Israel when the Jews were traveling left, and upon the exodus from Mitzrayim, we found that the Jews ended up 40 years in the desert when they could have entered the land almost immediately after leaving the land of Egypt. Why was this divine verdict handed down and ruled? Why? Because there was ill speech concerning the land of Israel. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Vayinasu osi ze eser pa'omim v'chulei. This Pasuk is said in the context of the Meraglim, the spies that spoke ill of the land of Canaan, the land of Israel, that the Jews were about to enter. And as a result of the public accepting their ill speech about Eretz Yisrael, the verdict was handed down from Shomayim that they shall dwell and continue their travels in the desert for 40 years. So we see that the significance, what the significance of ill speech has. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice some new geometric forms, and they include house markings and double underlines with dots in them. On the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh, we find the house featured with the expression Mimai noted. The house we will see around that expression with the point facing up. And the double underline underscores the word Dilmah. She'elois biwur. We will be engaged in questions of clarification. Lochiach hadikotoni b'mishnah, to prove that which the Mishnah says. Ulekamon b'braisa, and later on, and likewise, the same markings will be used later on when we try to prove that which it says in the braisa. So these are questions that are raised, and when you see the questions, we'll say that they're questions raised on that which was taught, and the house form turned upside down with the point facing down, tshuvos lana, they will be responses. So these are, we have a Gemara now that's going to engage in clarification of that which was taught in the Mishnah, and later a Braisa, and then responses. So the Gemara starts, Mimai. From where do you know to say that one who speaks ill is considered more severe than one who does an actual act, as we claimed we saw in the Mishnah? So who says? Dilma mishum dekagorim lo katlo. It could be, maybe, the payment of 100 for motzi shemra isn't for the ill speech per se, but that he started off by claiming that his wife was engaged in immorality, which is something that, if found to be true, could lead to death. So it's because you're dealing with a topic that has a potential death penalty associated with it, that's what creates this severity, not the mere speech per se. And how do we know that it could lead to death? Dichtiv, the emes hoyo hadavar, votziu es hanaro v'chule. The pasuk says in the context of ills of this of motzi shemra, that if he is not motzi shemra, but rather is telling the truth, so then the woman is taken out to be killed. Omar Rava, so here you see this is a response. Omar Kra, the pasuk when dealing with the payment says ki hotzi shemra. Al shame raw shall see, the payment is made because of the speech, not because of a potential death that the potential death threat that he caused. But very simple and specifically the speech. V'chein motzinu shelo nishatim gzar din v'chulei. The Mishnah said that we find the severity of ill speech in the context of the verdict handed down to the Jewish people to continue their sojourn in the desert for 40 years was a result of the ill speech. The Gemara asks, Mimai, who says that that's the reason the Gezar Din, the verdict, was ruled? Dilma da akati lo mola sason. Maybe the Chatima Sadin, the Gezar Din, the verdict, was handed down now because of an accumulation of sins that which culminated in the evil speech, but not the evil speech about the land of Israel alone caused the ruling of 40 years in the Midbar. The Omar Rav Hanuna, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifra Min HaAdam Ad SheTismale Soso. The Kodesh Baruch Hu does not punish a person until his measure of sin is filled, until he's filled up with sin up to the brim, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu, then the Almighty punishes. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Bimlois sifkoi yetzer lo. Rashi says, Bimlois sifkoi yetzer lo kishetemale soso. Soso is a measure. When the measure gets filled, ba'avonos harbei, with many sins, oz yetzer lo, tavo alav tzora. Yetzer lo means the tzoras, the troubles will start. So the question once again is, maybe it's because of the completion or the filling up of the measure of sins, and not the ill speech alone that caused the ruling of 40 years in the Midbar. Elo Omar Ish Lakish, Omar Kra, the pasuk says, Vayenasu Osi Ze Eser Pa'omim. And this pasuk, as we mentioned earlier, was mentioned by the spies, in the context of the spies and the Almighty's response. And he says in the pasuk, there's the word ze is added, by yanasu osi ze, they infuriated me this time. So, and the word ze tells me al ze nishatem gzar din, it's because of this, because of the ill speech of the land of Israel, not because of an accumulation or an attaching of other sins to this. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Prota. We have a Tanaic source, you can see in the frame. Rabbi Lozen Rapporto says, Borei kama godol koyach shel loshon hara. Come see how great, how potentially dangerous the offense of loshon hara is. Min olan, from where do we see how dangerous it is? Mi meraglim, from the case of the spies that were sent to scout the land of Israel in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and came back with an evil report. Uma hamoitzi shemra al eitzim ravonim kach. Mind you, those that speak ill of the inanimate, the eitzim, literally the wood and stones, meaning the land. They spoke of the land. They speak about a person. A land is considered less significant than a human being. And yet, look at what befell them. And truth be told, if you look in Maseches Sota, you will see how they, the spies themselves, suffered a very strange, painful type of death. And the general population that accepted their story suffered being in the Midbar for 40 years and not being allowed to enter the land. So that's what you see by someone who speaks ill of the land. Ha-motzi shemra al-chavero al-achas kama v'kama. You can imagine one who speaks ill about his friend, how much more severe that is. It's an attack on another human being. That's even more severe. The Gemara asks, Mimai, who says that the ill speech of the Meraglim was the reason for their fate? Namely, who says it's the ill speech alone? Dilmo mishunder bichanina bar popa. Maybe their punishment was a result of what Rav Chanina says. Yom Rav Chanina bar popa, dover godol dibru Meraglim boiso shah. When they spoke in a blasphemous nature. Dichtiv, it says in the pasuk, ki chozok hu mimenu. They reported that chozok hu mimenu, that the land and the inhabited population is stronger mimenu than him. Kiviyochol, we skip these words that we have in these angular brackets. There are gyusos that don't include this in the text, so we will skip it. Kiviyochol is if to say, using the word mimenu, is the mimenu is a pronoun, and it could be understood as first person plural, that us. It could also mean third person singular, referring to the Almighty. So that when they said ki chozok hu mimenu, that the people in the land are stronger than mimenu, kiviyochol, as if to say that it's a reference to the Almighty himself. Balabayis, the owner, that's the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the owner of the Almighty, ein yochol lahotzi kelov misham, that the owner can't get into his own house to take out his vessels, which is a turn of speech, meaning that even the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself won't be able to defeat the population of Eretz Canaan. So that's the problem of the Meraglim. Not that they simply said that the land is uninhabitable and it's not a good place, this, that, and the other thing, but rather they were speaking in blasphemous terms. That's why they suffered the penalty that they did. Not because of slanderous speech, but that they were engaged in blasphemy against the Almighty himself. Elo Omar Rabo Omar Ishlokish Omar Kro. If you were looking for a source that the fate of the Meraglim was a result of ill speech, listen to this pasuk. Vayomusu anashim motzi dibas aretz ra'a. That is the pasuk. Then the men, the spies that spoke ill of the land, died. Al dibas ha'aretz shotziu. Their death was because of their speech on the land, and not because of some blasphemy. Granted, blasphemy is even worse, but not, you don't have to come to that. It's just the mere evil speech of the land was enough to cause their fate. Notice we have a brackets, and the length of the bracketed section is indicated by a bracket length indicator. You see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a descending vertical dash dotted vertical line. If you follow this to the top of Tes Vav Amud Beis, you'll notice about the fifth line from the top, this marking ends, and in the middle of that line, the brackets closes. Now, on the inside margin, you'll notice we have a star, and this star explains the role of the brackets. And it reads as follows: Acharei hasogrei be'omid beis, after the brackets on omid beis, kagmor mamshicha benosei loshon hara, we'll continue with the topic of loshon hara, of ill speech. Besoch hasogrei muva b'raiso be'inyan eser nisyonis nisu avisenu l'shboruch be'midbar. Within this source, there will be a b'raisa that says that the Jewish people enraged the Kodesh Baruch Hu on 10 occasions in the desert. Uvahem Sheikh, and in the continuation, Hagmor Mazbira Oisam Al Yedei Havos Mekoros Bepsukimor will explain and relate to the 10 different examples or 10 occasions by bringing Psukim and some added explanation. As we mentioned, after the brackets, the Gemara then will pick up with the topic of Loshon Hara. On the outside margin, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we have a topic heading, Mivneh, a structural note combined into one note, and we've also indicated the Sograyim. That means the section in the brackets. You'll notice a crown form that appears. Hesberim LaRashima Shivu B'Braisa. The Braisa will appear at the beginning of the bracketed section, indicating on ten occasions the Jews infuriated the Almighty in the desert. And the crown shape represents the explanation of those events mentioned in the Braisa. That's the things that are mentioned. Braisa ben Oseishel Eser Nisyonos Nisu Avosenu L'Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Midbar. Regarding the topic of the Eser Nisyonos, the 10 Nisyonos, the Shita Mukubetzes that's found on Omid Beis in Ois Gimel, in the Gimel note of the Shita Mukubetzes, mentions that the word Nisyonos in this Gemara is a reference to enraging. So on 10 occasions, the people enraged the Almighty. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Tanya, Amar Rav Yehuda, Eser Nisyonos Nisu Avosenu LaKadosh Baruch Hu BaMidbar VeElohein. On 10 occasions, the Jews caused the Almighty to become angered. Now, it's important to note on a hashkafic level, when we speak about the Almighty and anger and all those types of expressions, to realize that the Torah speaks to us on a human level. The concept of anger and wrath and all that, as we understand it, when we speak about the Almighty, is something that we cannot comprehend. We're talking about the Almighty, the infinite, the above all traits and attributes that human beings can really perceive. But in order to proceed through life and understand the application of the Torah to us as human beings, so we have to use from time to time expressions that we can understand, but not to chas v'sholem at any point to take these things literally. So for lack of better expression for at this point, we'll speak about 10 occasions that the Jewish people enraged the Almighty. So what are they? The Elohein, Shnayim Bayam, the two on the sea, Shnayim Bamayim, two concerning water, Shnayim Bamon, two concerning the mon that fell from heaven, the food that sustained them in the Midbar, Shnayim Beslov, two involving the slov, a type of bird, Shnayim Achas Be'egel, one, it's fairly obvious, the golden calf, the Achas Be'midbar Poron, and one in the desert, the Poron desert. These points will now be addressed by the Gemara. So if you scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll see where the frame, where the crown marking appears. You see immediately Shnayim Bayam, and there will be an elaboration on that. Three lines from the bottom, you notice Shnayim Bamayim, and the last line, Shnayim Bamon, that brings you up to six of these occasions. And then on the top of Omid Beis, you see Shnayim Beslov, four lines from the top, the Egel, and finally, the fifth line from the top, we see Bamidbar Paran highlighted with the crown shape. So we continue now in the Gemara. Shnayim Bayam, Achas B'Yerido V'Achas Baliyah. On two occasions, during the splitting of the sea, once upon entrance to the sea, and once upon arising on the shore from the sea. And the Gemara explains, B'Yerido, and you notice we have a little aleph that's encircled, and there's a dashed underline under that, a diagonal dashed underlining, and then the next line you will see the expression Be'aliyah with a little bays over it, indicating what was meant by their arising from the sea. So the Gemara says, Birida, upon entrance to the sea, the people complained and said, why do we have to go through this? Dechtiv hamibli ein kivorim b'mitzrayim, are there no graves in Mitzrayim? Could we not have remained in Mitzrayim and be buried there? Why do we have to go through this and get killed over here? So that was one comment of theirs, of the Jewish people, that enraged the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that was said before they entered the water, or the sea. Be'aliyah, Kidder Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav Yehuna, based on Rav Yehuna's teaching, we will understand what it means when they came out, when they arose from crossing the sea. It says, Rav Yehuna says, Yisrael Shebos Sador Mikatne Amona Hoyu, the Jews of that generation were of limited belief, of faith, limited faith. Kidder Rabo Bar Mori, based on Rabo's teaching, Omar Rabo Bar Mori, my dichtiv, Vayamru Al Yam. Bayam Suf, Vayamru has to do with rebelling. They rebelled in the sea, concerning the sea. Vayoshiem Leman Shemo, and they were saved for the sake of the Almighty's name. Melame, this teaches us. Shaho Yisrael Mamrim Boisishov Yomrim, they were rebelling at that moment, that they were coming out of the sea onto the land after having gone through the split water, and said, Kishem Shana Oilim Mitzad Ze, Kach Mitzrim Oilim Mitzad Acher. Just like we're coming out of the split waters, so too the Egyptians are coming out at another point. They're also coming out of the water. So what, the sea split? It didn't split just for us, it split for them too, and they're going to continue their chase. The Egyptians are going to continue their chase. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'sar shel yam. The Kodesh Baruch Hu turned to the ministering angel who is in charge of seas. And the Almighty said, Ployt oisem le'abosha. Well, cast them out. Spit them out of the water to the shore so that my people, the Jewish people, can see that they are good and dead. Omar Lofonov. Now the Sar Shel Yam, the ministering angel of the sea, said to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, why should I spit out the booty that I just got? In other words, I fulfilled your Ratzon by drowning the Egyptians, and now that's my prize, so to speak. So the Sar Shel Yam says to the Almighty Ribbono Shel Olam, Klum Yesh Eved Shenosein L'Rabo Maton V'Chozer V'Not Lo V'Heimenu. Is there an occasion where an Eved, a slave, and that's me in this case, says the Sar Shel Yam, that the Master, that's you, the Almighty, gives the Eved, the slave, a prize and then takes it away from him? Omar Loi. So the Almighty said, listen, just do me a favor right now. Ani noisein loch echadu mechzuz behem. If you cast them out now, and the them is a reference to the 600 royal chariots that led the Egyptian army in their pursuit of the Jews, if you would cast them out now, in other words, you'll part with the 600 that you drowned, I will at a later point in time give you back 1.5 times that. So 1.5 times 600 is 900. And in fact, in the time of Sisra, where there was a war led by the general Sisra against the Jewish people, in Sefer Shoftim, in the time of Devorah the prophetess, we find that there were 900 chariots that were drowned in the waters. And so that the Sar Shel Yam, this ministering angel in charge of bodies of water, got back later 900 in exchange for the 600 that he cast out at the bequest of the Almighty. Omar Lefonov, Ribbono Shalom. So the Sar Shel Yam says, it's very nice that you're promising at some time in the future 1.5 times that which I'm being asked to give up on now. But Klum Yesh Eved She Tovea Es Rabo. The Sar Shel Yam addresses the Ribbono Shalom and says, yeah, but I'm going to have to then seek it from you. But it's not acceptable that the slave comes at some point later and says, well, where is my payment? It's not acceptable for an Eved to behave thusly. Omar lo. So the Kodesh Baruch says, I understand your plight. And he says, I'll give you a guarantor that you can address him. Nachal Kishon Ye'orev. The Kishon River will be my guarantor. and you can turn to the Nahal Kishon in request for your payment. Miyad Poltan Liabosh, at that point that the Kosh Baruch Hu gave the minister of the Yam an option, so the Sarshayam then cast the dead Egyptians up onto the shore. Dichti Vayar Yisrael is Mitzrayim Meis al Sfasayam, and the Jewish people beheld the dead Egyptians on the shore of the sea. We continue now, after having explained what the two occasions of Shnayim Bayam were, now Shnayim Bamayim, two points in time that the Jews enraged the Kodesh Baruch Hu regarding matters of drinking water. Bemora uberefidim. These are two place names. Bemora dichti vayavo morasa v'loyochlu lishtos. They came to the location of Mora in the Mibor during their travels, and they couldn't drink. Uksiva Yolin Hamal Moshe, the people started to complain to Moshe regarding the water. And so that whole episode was an episode that the people started complaining, and that caused the Kodesh Baruch Hu to become enraged. Berefidim, they encamped in Rephidim, another place in the Midbar, and there was no drinking water. That the people started to quarrel with Moshe. And that too was an occasion of, we'll call it a time of rebellion. Shnayim Bamon, two occasions concerning the Mon. The Pasuk says, regarding the mon, it says al teitzu, that on, it says on Shabbos they shouldn't go out and collect the mon. Vayetzu, and they did. They didn't listen to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It says also al tosiru, not to leave over. Vayosiru, and they did leave over. Shnayim Beslov, two occasions involving the Slav bird. Beslov Rishon uBeslov Sheni. There were two events involving this bird that the Kodesh Baruch Hu had provided for them in the Midbar. Beslov Rishon, the Pasuk says, B'shivtenu Alsir HaBosar. And the second occasion, Bishlov Sheni, V'asafsuf Asher B'kirbo. These are occasions where if you look in the Torah, you see that there was a challenge or a rebellion concerning that involved this matter of the birds. Bo'egel, there is a note in the Shita Mekubetzis, Ois Gimel, which raises a question concerning the Ovon of the Egel. And at this point, it's the Shita Mekubetzis that points out that the word Nisyonos, in fact, means points at which they enraged the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's obvious when it comes to the issue of the golden calf. Kidi'ise means as it is. Just the simple story shows you how they were acting in rebellion. The Midbar Poron, Kidi'ise. Midbar Poron is a reference to the Meraglim, the Maisim Meraglim, the sending out of the spies, as it is reported in the Torah. That too was a point at which they enraged the Almighty. As we pointed out before, we now go back to the topic of Lashon Hara. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, Mai Dichtiv. What is meant by that which it says, Ma Yitain Loch, Uma Yosif Loch, Lashon Remiyah? That's the Pasuk itself, and now the interpretation. Omar Lo HaKodesh Baruch Hu LaLashon. The Almighty says to the limb known as the tongue, Kol Ivorov Shel Adam Zikufin. All the limbs of a person, when a person is, let's say, standing, his limbs are erect. The arms, the legs, they're all standing in a vertical fashion. V'ata Mutal. And you are lying on the side. All of a person's limbs are external. You're lying inside. And not only that, but I fenced you in with two walls. One of etzem, that's a reference to hard material like a bone, but in this case it means teeth. Teeth is a hard material, and another fence of of Bosser, the lips. So we have a description here of the tongue being in a protected, encased, passive fashion. It's lying down. It's internal, relatively speaking. It's fenced in with two fences. And ma yitein lochu ma yosef loch loshen remia. What more can I do, says the Almighty, to provide guarding that you shouldn't speak ill? So that this pasuk is describing how the Kodesh Baruch Hu has made all types of provisions in designing a person, in keeping that limb, the tongue, from doing its evil thing, the act of Lashon Hara. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, what more can I do? Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. At this point, we have a new geometric form. We have a diamond that appears, and the outside margin you see under our mivne heading, the diamond is featured. Kol hamasaper loshen hara, etc. The expression kol hamasaper we put in quotation marks, indicating that that's what you will see in this diamond. As you scan down the page, you'll find quite a few of these expressions that kol hamasaper with something that follows regarding loshen hara. Memros beginus misapre loshon hara. These are comments in the Gemara that speak ill of those who speak loshon hara. The Gemara now continues. So Rabbi Yochanan quotes Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra saying, "Kol misapre loshon hara, he who speaks ill of others, ki'ilu kofar v'ikar. It's tantamount to denial of the Almighty. The Shinemar Asher Omru Lilushonenu Nagbir Svasenu Itonu Mi Odoin Lano. It's as if to say, it's that whose Loshon Lishonenu, our tongues get stronger and we speak, who is in charge of us? Namely, no one is in charge of us. So that's what we mean by ill speech is tantamount or is associated with someone who denies the Almighty. V'Omar, there's a girsa that adds Rabbi Yochanan's name here. V'Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. Kol hamesaper loshon hara negoyim boyim olav. He who speaks ill speech, loshon hara, so he is afflicted with negoyim. Negoyim is something that we know in the Torah we refer to as tzara'as. Some translations report it as leprosy. We don't like to use that translation per se. We just refer to it as tzara'as. We know that it's a very unpleasant and could be very painful experience. So one who speaks Lashon Hara is subjecting himself to a negoyim punishment. Shenemar, Miloshni basei sireyehu, oisoi atzmis. First, in the beginning of this pasuk, you have miloshni. It has to do with speech. Baseser, in quiet, generally speaking, loshon hara is something that one whispers to his friend. He does it in quiet and in private. And then it says also atzmis. Now we have to analyze this word atzmis through a connection of different points that the Gemara makes in the next three lines, and which at the end of which we'll understand how the word atzmis points to the issue of negoyim. So we have this pasuk that speaks about ill speech, meloshne b'seser, and it uses the word atzmis. Uksiv hosom, it says in a different context, latzmisus, that's in Vayikra Perek Chofhei, but what's important about this word latzmisus is the Aramaic rendition of the word, umetargeminon lachalutin, has to do with something of a permanent nature. Utnan, ein bein metzora muskar lemetzora muchlat ela priya uprima. This is a Mishnah found in Maseches Megillah and elsewhere that points out the differences between two levels of Mitzora, one who's called a Muskar, one who's called a Mukhlat. What's important for us right now is not the details of this source, but rather to note that the word Mukhlat is used in the context of Mitzora. That's why we have this dash underlining. And so the word Mukhlat is connected with the word Lachalutin. And the word Lachalutin is the Targum of the word Latzmisus. And the word Latzmisus was found in the form Atzmis in the Pasuk dealing with Lashon Hara. So if you link up these points of connection, you see that Lashon Hara is associated with Negoyim or Tzara'as. Omar Reish Lakish. At this point, we have another marking, a triangle, and this is designed to highlight Reish Lakish's name, as we have noted in our Mivneh, heading in the outside margin where you see a triangle feature. These are Memros Shel Reish Lakish. A list of comments of Reish Lakish. Mai dichtiv zos tie toiras hamatzora. And what does that posuk mean? Zois tie toiraso shel motzi shame ra. Reish Lakish takes the word metzora as a contraction of the expression motzi shame ra, one who speaks ill, casts falsehoods concerning his friend. In fact, we noted before that soras is associated as a form of punishment for lashon hara, so that when the pasuk speaks about the rules of the metzora, and in the Torah it speaks about how we deal with the metzora, korbanos that he brings, and all other dinim regarding metzora. What is Mitzorah? Mitzorah is a contraction of Motzi Shem Ra. And as we said before, punishment of Negoyim of Tzoras comes to one who speaks evil. The Omar Reish Lakish, Mai Dichtiv Im Yoshuch HaNochosh Belo Lachash V'Ein Yisrael Nilbal HaLoshon. That is a posuk, and now the Gemara elaborates on that. Le'osid Lavo in the future, Miskapsis Kol Achayas Ubos Eitzel HaNochosh. All of the different creatures of the animal kingdom will come together and approach the serpent, the Omros, and they will say, Ari Dores V'Ochel. We know that a lion tramples its prey and eats it. Ze'ev Toref V'Ochel. The wolf tears upon its prey and eats it. So they do what we'd say objectively is some type of destructive activity, but they benefit from it. Ato mahano yesh lecha. We know that when a serpent bites, it bites and then it injects its venom and leaves it as it is. What hano do you have in what you do? Omer lohem, and so the Nochosh says back, you're asking about me, I'll ask back to you, v'chima yisron lebal haloshon. What benefit does the one who speaks ill have? And yet he too speaks ill, he uses his mouth and does and wreaks pain and destruction, but what benefit does he have from that? The Omar Reish Lakish, call him a saper loshen hora magdil avoinois ad l'shamayim. One who speaks loshen hora sins up till the very heavens. Shenemar shatu bashamayim pihem ulishonom tihalach ba'aretz. Their mouths that speak on this ground create sin that reaches heavenwards. We have another marking now, a double underline, and this is explained on the outside margin under our Mivneh. These are Memros Shel Rav Chisda Omar Mar Ukva, a series of comments Rav Chisda makes in the name of Mar Ukva. The Omar Rav Chisda Omar Mar Ukva, call him a saper Loshen Hora, Roy Lesoklo Be'evan. One who speaks Loshen Hora is worthy to be stoned. Ksiv Hocha Oiso Atzmis. We saw this quoted just before, in the context of Loshen Hara. Uksiv Hosam Tsamtsu Babor Chayoi Vayadu Even B. Vayadu Even B has to do with stoning. So you see the word Tsamtsu in at the beginning of this pasuk. So just like the Oso Atzmis was a pasuk under in the context of Loshen Hara, here you see the word Tsamtsu and the casting of a stone on such an individual. The Omar Rav Chisda Omar Mar Ukva Kolam Asaper Loshen Hara Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu Ein ani v'hu yechoyim lodur ba'olam. He who speaks ill of others, the Kodesh Baruch Hu declares concerning him, I can't dwell in the same world with him. Shenamar, the pasuk says, Malashne b'seis reu, oisei atzmitz, geva inayim rechav levov, oisei lo uchal. That's the pasuk, and once again, this pasuk speaks about Loshen Hara speakers. And it says at the end of this pasuk, oisei lo uchal, al tikri oisei lo uchal, elo itoi lo uchal. Ito means with him I cannot be. So from this we see that one who speaks Loshen Hara, the Kodesh Baruch Hu declares concerning him, I can't live with him in the same world. The ego demasni lo al gasei haruach. Another version has this teaching of I can't live with him in the same world regarding those who are haughty. In the pasuk that we quoted, you notice the expression geva inayim. Geva is to be something that refers to something on high. Geva inayim, a reference to someone is of high spirit, of haughty spirit. So regarding that, this version claims, the Kodesh Baruch says, I cannot live in the same world with a baal gaiva, with a haughty individual. The Omar Reb Chisda Omar Mar Ukva. You notice, of course, we have number 3 over here. This is an attempt to keep track of the numbers, the statements made by Rav Chisda in the name of Mar Ukva. So here is the third statement. One who speaks ill of others, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says to the ministering angel of Gehenim, of purgatory, Ani olov milamalo ve'ato milamata nidodenu, nidonenu. I from above and you from below will judge such a person. Shinema chitzei gibor shnunim im gachale risomim. This pasuk is now explained by the Gemara phrase by phrase. And as we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice we have these squiggle underlines that highlight the different parts of the pasuk. Ein chitzei elo loshen hara. The chitzei gibor is a reference to one who speaks ill of others. Where do we see chitzei, which literally means arrows that are shot? Where do we see that in the context of Lashon Hara? Shenemar chetz shochut lishonam mirmo diber. And this pasuk makes a reference to the chetz, an arrow, and lishonam mirmo is a reference to Lashon Hara. The ein gibor, Elokosh Brochu, the word the pasuk said chitzei gibor. The word gibor refers to the Almighty. Shenemar Hashem kagibor yetzei. Gachale resumim hainu gehenim. These gachale are coals, resumim is a type of special wood, the rosem wood, which happens to provide very, very hot coals. So that's a reference to gehenim. So when you take all of this information and go back to the pasuk, which said chitze gibor shnum dim gachale resumim, we come out with the idea that chitze, one who speaks loshen hara, the gibor, the kodesh baruch, and gachale resumim, the minister of purgatory, will judge him. Omar Rabbi Chamo Bar Chanina, and another geometric form here to highlight what's mentioned under our Nosei Mivne heading on the outside margin. These houses represent Deois Beinyan Takonosum Shamasapri Loshen Hora. Comments regarding the salvation of those that speak Loshen Hora. One is a case of a Talmud Chocham, and that's Aleph, and Beis is the case of an Am HaOretz. So Omar Rabbi Chamo Bar Chanina. A little bit later, we will see Rav Achob Rabbi Chanina also with this geometric form, the trapezoid, or which we refer to fondly as the volcano shape. In our markings, we've highlighted two names, Rav Chamo Rabbi Chanina and Rav Acho Rabbi Chanina. Rav Acho will disagree with Rav Chamo. Rav Chamo speaks about someone who spoke Lashon Hara. Repair or fixing correction, and Rav Acha Bar Chanina says someone who already spoke Lashon Hara, he has no hope, he has no correction or fixing, but rather if you want to speak about the takona, we're talking about the takona, the prevention, the preventive act one can do in order not to come to speak ill of others. In the meantime, though, we have Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, and he addresses those who violated Lashon Hara, whether it be a Talmud Chocham or an Am HaOretz. So our Gemara continues. Omar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Ma Takonosu Shaloshin Misapri Lashon Hara. What is the repair, the fixing of those, the help, the salvation of those that spoke Lashon Hara? So Aleph Im Talmud Chocham Hu Yasuk B'Torah. The way to undo the problem of having spoken Loshon Hara is to engage in Torah study. Shenemar, Marpe Loshon Eitz Chaim. And this is explained by the Gemara. The Ein Loshon Loshon Hara. The word here, Marpe means the healing of the Loshon, the speech, this evil speech. Shenemar, Chetz Shochut Lishonam. The word Loshon is associated with evil speech. The Ein Eitz Chaim, Elo Torah. Eitz Chaim, the tree of life, is a reference to Torah. Shenemar, Eitz Chaim hi lamachzikim bo. That posuk is in the context of Torah, so that the Torah is symbolizes the tree of life. It's the source of life for those that cling unto it. Those engage in Torah study, they can benefit from life. The im am oretz hu, if however the speaker of the Lashon Hara was an ignoramus, then what's his salvation? What's his takona? Yashpil daito. He should become humble. Shinemar, the posuk says, And you'll notice this is in Mishlei, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Dalet, just like the opening of the Pasuk that said, Marpe Loshen Eitz Chaim, which was a Pasuk, the first half of the Pasuk, which addresses the Talmud Chacham, who spoke Loshen Hara. The Pasuk goes on to say, the Selef Ba Shever Beruach. And Selef Ba is a reference to someone who is Mesalef, one who lies, and now wants to get rid of that, one who spoke evil. So, Shever Beruach, he has to become humble, broken spirit, literally. Humility is the way to undo the speaking of having spoken Loshon Hara. Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Chaina Omer, he disagrees with Rav Chama, and he says, Siper Ein Lo Takona. The one who spoke ill of others, he has no repair. Shekvar kos David ruach hakodesh shenemar. David Hamelech already in a pasuk in Tehillim has already cut him away, cut him off. The pasuk says, Yachreis Hashem kol sifsei chalokos loshim medaber as gedolos. Let the Almighty cut away those that speak ill of others. Elama takanos. If you want to ask about the repair of the repair of a situation or the fixing of a situation, ma takanosu shelo yavol lidei loshon hara. What can one do in to keep him from coming to speak ill? You notice with our markings, we have this diagonal dashed underline under the expression ma takanosu. You compare that with just a couple lines above. We also have that ma takanosu. That was in the context of Rabbi Chama's point, and it makes it easier. The markings make it easier to see how they differ by focusing on the marked expressions. Both begin with ma takanoso. In the case of Rav Chama, he said, what's the takanoso of those that spoke already? And here he says, what's the salvation or the chance or the preemptive measure that one can take? Shelo yovoli dei loshon hara, that he shouldn't come to speak. What we call preventive medicine. So he too addresses the two types of sections of the population, the learned and the ignorant. Im Talmud Chacham hu yasuk v'Torah. If he is Torah conversant, he should study Torah. Through the study of Torah, one will prevent himself from coming to speak ill of others. V'im am oretz hu yashpil daito. If one is not learned, but he should practice humility. Shneimar v'selef ba shever beruach. And it probably is worth adding, as what was by way of explanation, that when what is it that motivates one to speak ill of others? So one major factor is the feeling of pride or of haughtiness, that I am better than he. He is below me. He's beneath me. Therefore, I can speak ill of him. But if one understands his humble rank in life, one automatically develops a certain sense of awe and respect of others. So if you're thinking about someone who you respect, who is above you, you will certainly restrain yourself from speaking ill of such an individual. So that humility is a very fine characteristic to develop in order to prevent one from coming to speak ill of others. Tona debei Rabbi Shmuel. Kol ha-masaper. Notice we have a diamond. We haven't seen one for the last few lines, but this goes back to the series of the expressions beginning with those who speak Loshon Hara and what is said about them. Kol ha-masaper Loshon Hara magdil avonos keneged sholosh averos. He who speaks ill of others is considered committing a major sin equal to those of the three capital offenses, three major offenses that are known in Judaism: avodas kechovim, vegilat arayos, and shpichus damim. These three major sins that one must give up his life if, in fact, they're so important, so significant that one would have to sacrifice his life if he's forced. If his only other choice is to violate these, they are idol worship. That's avodas kechovim. Gilat arayos are acts of immorality, and shpichus damim, the murder of someone else. And how do we see that Loshon Hara is associated with these major offenses? In other words, the one sin of Loshon Hara could be compared to a violation of these three other sins. So by way of the psukim, we're going to be looking to see where do we see a connection between Loshon Hara and these offenses. Ksiv hocha, Loshen medaber es gedolos. It says here in the context of Loshen hora, the word gedolos. Uksiv bavodis kechavim. You can see with our markings what we're trying to accomplish. We're dash underlining the three major offenses, and we're dot underlining the word that shows a connection between the one of those three major offenses and Loshon Hara. Continuing, Begile Arayos, Ksiv, V'eich Eseh Hara HaGedoylo Hazos. In the context of an act of immorality, you find the word HaGedoylo used, and we already pointed out by Loshon Hara of the word Gedolos. B'Shifrichus Damim, Ksiv, Gadol Avoni Minso. In the case of a pasuk dealing with the issue of murder, and we're not getting into the context of where each one of these psukim are found, but we're just leaving it as the context of murder, you find the word gadol used, and once again, we saw by Loshon Hara the word gedolos. The Gemara asks, why do you say that Loshon Hara is equal to three offenses? After all, the pasuk by Loshon Hara used the word gedolos. Emo tarti, gedolos is a plural. The minimum plural is two. So maybe Loshon Hara is considered an equal offense to two other sins, not three. So the Gemara says, oh, you want to say only two and not three? Well, hey minayu mafka. Which one are you going to subtract from the list? Since you can't choose, you won't be able to choose one over the other. So we'll say he's in violation of all three. Bimarovo amri. In Eretz Yisrael, they have the following saying, Loshon Tlisoi Kotil Tlisoi. Loshon Hora, Loshon Tlisoi, the word Tlisoi, Rashi explains, is a reference to a talebearer. He is the third party who connects between the two, the one who spoke and the one who is the subject. In other words, a talebearer will go to an individual and say, do you know what so-and-so said about you? So the word tlisoi literally means a third party. So a talebearer, according to Rashi's explanation, is considered a third party. So you have three people in this act of Loshon Hara. Tosfos offers a second shot in the word lishna tlisoi, and he says that it's a reference to the tongue that has three elements to it. Namely, it's got two fences and the tongue itself. So in Eretz Yisrael, they have the following saying that the Loshon Tlisoi, the tongue that's associated with the number three, kills three. Kotil Tlisoi kills three. Horeg la'omro, ulemakablo, ulaomrin olav. It injures, it kills, it can have fatal effects on the one that speaks the evil, one that accepts the evil speech, and the subject about whom things were said. Omar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina, my dichtiv. Now we have a new marking. We have a triangle with a colored in tip. On the side of the Gemara, there are no same mivne henning. We have this marking featured shlavim. These are stages. Bedroshas psukim beinyan loshon hara. So we have also this double underline with dots in it will highlight psukim dealing with loshon hara. So we will also notice a inverted triangle that appears. And that's called nisiga, midrashus anal, a withdrawal from whatever drushes we said beforehand. Uvim koimam drushes chadoshes. And instead, the Gemara will provide a new drusha for each one of the psukim. So we start this series of drushes, realizing that the Gemara will offer alternative explanations later. My dichtiv, moves v'chayim biyad haloshon. V'chiyesh yad l'loshon. The pasuk says biyad loshon, in the hand of the tongue. Does the tongue have a hand? Rather, lo marloch, ma yad memisa af loshon memisa. It rather is an analogy between the tongue and a hand. Just like a hand is capable of killing, so too the tongue is capable of killing. And that's through evil speech. I ma you might ask, well, if there's an analogy to a tongue, to a hand, the tongue compared to a hand, well, a hand kills only that which is right next to the perpetrator. A perpetrator uses his hand to kill a victim that's right near him. Are you going to say that the tongue's effects are only on someone right next to you? So, as far as that's concerned, Talmud Lomar, Chet Shochet Lashonim. The Lashon, the tongue of evil speech, is compared to an arrow. Well, an arrow kills at a distance. However, on this we ask, remember, these triangles represent stages in analysis. So we continue in our questioning, and the next stage of understanding, are you going to say that just like an arrow kills, but it has a limitation, has a limited distance, 40, 50 amos, amo is a measure, 40, 50 amos away, how far does an arrow travel and still have the power to kill? So about 40, 50 amos. Is that the limit? Does the tongue have that same limit in its ability to kill? Talmud Lomar, there's another pasuk. Shatu bashamayim p'yem ulishonim tialach boretz. This pasuk indicates that a person can speak on the ground and the effects of his speech are felt even in the heavens, meaning at great distance. Well, the Gemara now challenges. Now that you reveal that the tongue has the power to kill at very great distances, what do I need the analogy to an arrow? The analogy of the arrow would limit the effects that the tongue would have to a finite distance, where 40, 50 amas, but we already know that the tongue's ability to kill is much further. So what do I need the analogy to the arrow? Ha komash malon. The pasuk of the arrow tells me the kotil kachet, that the loshen, the tongue, the loshen hara has the power to kill, to cause death. That I wouldn't have known from the pasuk of shatu b'shamayim had I not had the pasuk of chet shachut. Well, okay. B'chimeachar dechsiv chet shachut l'shanam. Once I have this pasuk, moves v'chayim biyad loshen lomli. What do I need the analogy to an arm for? Answer: licha d'rava. This pasuk of Moves v'chayim b'yad aloshon, I need for Rava's teaching. The Amar Rava, deboi chayim b'lishnei, deboi misa b'lishnei. It conveys the idea that through one's tongue one can achieve life, and that's through the study of Torah, Rashi says, and if one seeks death, also through his tongue, and that's through practicing foolish and empty speech. At this point, the Gemara asks what might be the central question: Hechi domi lishnobisha? What is an illustration? What is meant by loshen hara? Omar Rabba. Now we have a little one here, and this will be upgraded, if you will, or changed or added to on the next line where we have a number two. But in the meantime, Rabba says kegoyin de Omar, someone who says iko nura beplanya. If someone comes asking for a fire, let's say a match. So if you say that there's fire to be found in the house of so and so, well, that's what he says is loshen hara. Omar le abaye my kovid. So what's wrong with saying that you can find fire in the house of so and so? Gilui milso biyamahu. It's simply revealing to someone who wants fire where it is. What's evil? What's negative about that? Ella, rather, this is the understanding. Demapikle belishno bisha, the form in which he reveals the information, he does with an evil side to it. Diomar, he says, if you're approached and ask, where can I get a match or where can I find a fire? Let's say a guy wants to cook something, he needs a fire. He says, and the person answers as follows: says, Hecho de mishkach nura el beplanya. Diko Bistro Vakavri says, well, where else do you think you're going to find a fire other than in so-and-so's house, that they're always cooking meat and fish, that they're always involved with food? So in answering the person's question, you're also casting aspersions on the family by saying that they're gluttonous individuals. And in a place of gluttony, of course you'll find a fire there. They're always cooking on the fire. That is called Lashon Hara. Omar Rabba. We have a new marking here. It's a diamond with a colored in tip. The expression, that there are comments that begin with the expression of kol milsa. And you'll see that this continues, another example of this continues on Tes Zayin Amud Aleph at the top. So we've decided to use a marking to create a certain sense of connection between, or a series effect of these comments. So we'll also be highlighting in this Gemara the use of our diagonal dashed underline. You'll see the expressions Les Ba Mishum Lishna Bisha, that whatever's featured by the Gemara is not going to be considered a problem of Loshon Hara. So Rabba mentions, Omar Rabba, Kol Milso De Mis Amra Ba'api Mora Les Ba Mishum Lishna Bisha. Now here, we're going to limit our explanation to a translation of the Gemara. However, as we mentioned at the beginning of today's shiur, in order to appreciate this on a practical halachic level, it is imperative to study the relevant sforum, the relevant legal works that deal with the topic. So we're going to limit ourselves to a more or less literal translation of the Gemara, relying upon our just mentioned disclaimer. So Rabba says, Kol milso de misamro ba'api mora, anything that's said in front of the subject, les bo mishum lishna bisha. The translation would seem to say that if you're standing in front of a given party and you speak ill of that person to his face, and other people are standing around and listening to you, that is not considered a violation of Lashon Hara. It might be a violation of, might be insulting the person, but it's not classified as Lashon Hara. Amar Le Abaye. Abaye says, Kol Shekein Chutzpah V'Lishna Bisha. He says that type of behavior of standing in front of someone and speaking ill of him to his face and others here, that's considered chutzpah, which is a word that doesn't need translation. That's chutzpah, and in addition to it being Lashon Hara. Omar Le, Rabba responds, he says, Ano krebiosi svirali. With regard to this issue of speaking ill in front of someone concerning him, I am relying on Rabbi Yossi. Diom Rabbi Yossi, miyomai lo amarti dovar v'chazarti lachorai. I never said something and literally and turned around to my back to turn around to see who was there. There are a few different pshatim on this line. Rashi offers two explanations. We look at Rashi. He says v'chazarti lachorai. Lirois mi'amod acharai. Whenever I said something to someone's face, I never turned around. Sha'af b'fnei habaylim ani oimra. In other words, Rashi's describing this as Rabbi Yossi's halacha, not necessarily referring to someone speaking literally in front of somebody, but someone who speaks of someone else. The speaker will say that I would say this even in front of so-and-so. In other words, I'm telling you something and he's the subject isn't there, but I'm telling you what I'm saying and I'd say it even if he was here. So this, according to Rashi, interpreting this line, is saying that type of speech is Alma Lav Lishna Bisha Hashiva. It's not considered Lashon Hara. Once again, we have to be very, very careful and not to listen to what I'm saying right now in this shiur and then go acting on it. But as far as translation is concerned, it would appear from this that if one speaks ill of someone else and that someone is not there, but it's the type of comment that one would say even to his face, that's not considered Lashon Hara. But once again, we are saying to exercise great caution and don't rely on what we're saying right now. But as far as translation, that's what it would appear to be. Rashi has another pshat, Lishna Achrina, Shimbo Habaylim V'yomru, if the subject of your comment would come and say, Loma Marta came, why did you say that? Lo Chazarti Bi Lemor Lo Amarti. I, says Rabbi Yossi, would never deny Elo bifneim hodesi. If I had said something about someone and they would ever challenge me, I would acknowledge. I wouldn't attempt to deny it. The Rabbeinu Gershom at the bottom of the page says, "Me'olam lomarti dover shechazarti lachorei klomar." Kishoyisi oimer dover al shum adam. Whenever I spoke about someone, lo tzarachti lachzor lachori v'lirois, I never had to turn around and look shloihei shom bal hadover to make sure that the one concerning whom I was speaking was not there. Shafilu imhia shom, even if he was there, lo hoya choshesh, he wouldn't worry. She'eno mishaker. The Ein Omro Beloshon Hara, he would never say something false and not speak about someone in an evil way, in a lying fashion. Exactly how to apply this or any of these interpretations to actual life experience, that we leave to each one of you listeners to investigate the topic in the relevant legal works. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.